greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. Just such a blessing when we can travel many miles and still find a place where there's brothers, sisters to gather together to worship. And I trust that's our goal this morning, to worship. We've been blessed so far this morning. I was blessed just to with the devotions, thinking about my thoughts this morning, my message this morning is titled, Who is My God? And if we were concentrating on who is my God and that question, we could have been instructed, encouraged, and directed as we looked at Cain and Abel and what happened there when they choose. They make a choice for God. I'm just thankful this morning that we have a place here to worship. A lot of times as we get together to worship, I think sometimes we just fail. Or maybe it's just me that comes short of the full idea of this is about worshiping our great God, the great creator, the great sustainer of all life. And it's only through him that we have just what little bit we have. So this morning, I want to invite you all to Sunshine. If you have opportunity, come join us. It's a desert country, but we gather there regularly to worship as well. So this morning, the central focus of my message is in 1 Corinthians 10, but we're going to start here in Joshua. I want to start at Joshua. Joshua in the Sunday school lesson was so rich this morning. And if we look at Joshua 24, toward the end of Joshua's time, and we start at 19, and Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, and he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said, in other words, Josh is saying, this is, you're going to have to make a choice here. This God is going to require your all. And the people said, it doesn't matter to us whether this God is going to, what is going to happen here. The people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And that's my challenge this morning. Where are we at in our walk of life? And especially for me, how do I respond to difficult times? I brought this message from, we had a brother that confessed that he had failed in watching too many video clips and hadn't put enough time in the kingdom fellowship, kingdom work. And then I said, well, how many of us all here together are in this same place? And that's my question for you this morning. Where are you at in this walk? In video clips versus kingdom work. And I trust we're not going to come. I don't want to focus on that this morning, but finally, we need to choose God. We have a daily choice to make. That is, are you going to choose God or are you not going to choose God? And that's what they told the people said here to Joshua. But we're going to, and the Sunday school lesson pointed to that as well. The people said, God said, be strong and be of good courage. And the people said here that we are going to make a choice. We're going to follow God. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'll read the first four verses. We're going to look at quite a few verses here. And from time to time, we're going to go out of here and go back into some other places. But first of all, he says, moreover, brethren, I would not have you that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. One of the things I want us to notice here is that he talks about all our fathers, that it all passed through the sea, and that it also each of that spiritual rock, and they all drank of that rock, which was Christ. I believe this, there's many, and I'm going to look at a few of these examples. And these, the children of Israel, if we look at the children of Israel, and you all know this, we look at the children of Israel, we find many, many examples, many opportunities they had to choose to follow God, and many times when they failed to follow God, and many times how God corrected them and brought them back to attention to follow him. But that's my challenge this morning. Who is my God? And who is the God that I'm following? And let's go to Exodus. We're going to look at a few Old Testament writings here, and then we'll go into the New Testament. If we go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3, and we'll look at 6 and 7. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The God of And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So Moses is here. Moses is here, and he's wanting to bring these children out of Israel. And in verse 6, he says, God describes who he is. I am your personal God. And I want us to come here. Moreover, he said, I am your God. I am the God of your fathers. I am also your God. And I have seen your troubles. In verse 7, he says, I have seen your troubles, and I've heard your cry. I know your sorrows, he's saying to the children of Israel here. And that's my question for me and you and I today is, does God truly know our sorrows? Does he feel us? Do we cry unto him? Or are we out taking care of our own things? Or are we actually crying on our face before him saying, Lord God, here's my troubles. And if we go on over in Exodus 12, and we'll look at 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land in Egypt, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh that sat in the throne, and the firstborn of the captives that were in the dungeon, and all the firstborn. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he and all his servants and all Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not dead. There was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said unto, Rise and get ye forth from among the people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks, your herds, and as you have said, and be gone. And this is what amazed me in this portion here in verse 32. And Pharaoh says, and bless me also. So Pharaoh acknowledges here that this God that these children of Israel are serving, This God, he acknowledges that he wants a blessing from this God. And bless Pharisees and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We be all dead men." So they were fearful when they recognized who this God was that the Egyptians were, Hebrew people were serving. That was their God. So that would bring the question, is that when the people around me and you see us, do they see our God? What happens in our life? Did they notice it? Does it point them to our God? Let's go over to chapter 14, and we'll look at verse 10 and 11. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld, and the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?" He's saying here, the people are saying, "You carried us here out of Egypt to die in the wilderness." Well, we all know that for years and years before this, they've cried in heartache because of their bondage. And they said, and then as soon as verse 12, it says that, and it is not this the word that did tell thee in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for had they been better for us to serve the Egyptians, then we had died here in the wilderness." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he hath shown unto you today. For the Egyptians whom ye see today, ye shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that ye go forward." But my thought here is, how many times do you and I come to this point where we're crying for deliverance out of bondage? And when we finally see that we're delivered out of bondage, we doubt the deliverer. We doubt God for what he's really done. He said, "Could we not, the next time we have a tough time, well, could we not just die back here in Egypt?" Well, we know we didn't want to die back here in Egypt. And I find this same problem that I have, cried to God for deliverance. And then I'm thankful, but how soon the next problem comes, I say, "Well, wouldn't it have been better dying back there in Egypt?" So my point is this morning, two marvels that happened here. God thrust them out of Egypt. Egypt thrust them out for God. And the sea opens up. We know the story. The sea opens up, and they pass through the sea on dry ground. If we go to verse 19, 14, verse 19. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Then when I have put my honor upon Pharaoh, verse 19. And the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, And the pillar of the cloud went with them before their face and stood before them. After this powerful miracle, they've been thrust out because of their request. And go through they go through the sea, a wall of water on the right, cloud protecting them over the head. On dry land they walk through. And verse 31, 14:31, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And they sang, verse 1, and then sang Moses and the children of Israel a song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Verse 2, and Lord is my strength, my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Finally, we need to choose God. We need to choose him. We need to recognize him. These children of Israel, they sang a song unto Moses, and Moses sang a song, and all the children sang a song glorifying God because they recognized God for who he was. If we go to verse 11, in the song of Moses here, they sang after the crossing of the Red Sea, who is like unto thee? Verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? What amazes me in this verse is that they acknowledge that there are other gods out there. Because they say, who is like unto thee, O God? Acknowledging among the gods. So that's my question this morning. Who is our God? And if we go back to verse 11 of chapter 14, we have that same thought. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Either we choose to give God credit for what he's done for us, give God credit for bringing us through the Red Sea, give God credit for walling up the waters to get through the Red Sea, or we give somebody else credit. A miracle. We can say a miracle happened, but if we don't turn that miracle to God, then God doesn't get the credit for it. So if we go back to 1 Corinthians verse 5, he says here, but with many of them, he's talking about the children of Israel that came through the Red Sea, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are for examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, that they did there also lust, and neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them tempted and were destroyed of serpents. So we see that even after they passed through the Red Sea and they sang the song to Moses, it says that they were turned away and they turned to other gods. We see that as an ongoing problem in the children of Israel. My question this morning is, are we any different than they? We call to God for help. We ask God for assistance, and he delivers us from our... And how soon do we turn back? Let's go to Numbers 21. Just look at another little story here, another happening here in Numbers 21. I'll probably read the first 9 verses. And then King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, when he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord. No, just notice how they swing from one to another. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And they called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. So they were here at Edom. And Edom, if you remember this story, Edom said, well, no, you can't travel through it. And Israel said, well, we'll travel through the main road and we'll not eat anything, we'll not drink anything, we're just going to go the main road. And Edom said, no, you can't go. So God led Moses by way of around Edom. And it says here, the people, verse 4, they was much discouraged because of the way. They had just been delivered through the Red Sea. This is their first encounter, and they were successful in fighting these people. But Edom said, no, you got to walk around this way. And it says, the people, and we look back at verse 5, at chapter 15 in Exodus, and they sang this wonderful song, praise God. And now they're saying the people was discouraged because of the way. And the people spake in verse 5, it looks like these same people that we read about earlier. And the people spake unto God, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of the land of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. It's this manna. They didn't like this anymore. Well, they knew they didn't want to go back to Egypt. But they complained against God. They spake against God and against Moses that brought them up out of Egypt. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. So the question this morning is, who is our God? And how connected are we to him? Here, 2 verses later, finally the people say, you know, we have again sinned. But I trust that's who we are. We're able to again admit that we have sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it may come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, then when he beheld the serpent and the brass, he lived. I don't believe that when they needed to look on that brazen serpent that they were just to take a glance at it. I think they needed to take a look and they needed to say, Lord, we're sorry for what we've done, and repent and acknowledge God. And then they could live. So I see here a situation of the people of pure selfishness. But when they repented, after when we repent of our selfishness and we look on the serpent, we complain against Moses, we complain against God, and we repent and we look at the serpent, we repent of our selfishness, our selfish inclinations, then we can live. I think it's so simple that a lot of times we just miss it. Just stop and acknowledge God for who he is. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians 10, and we're going to look at, and he says here, neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyers. That's what we were looking at. Let's look at another couple verses about murmuring. I see the clock's just moving right along. Let's go to Philippians. When we're thinking about murmuring, Philippians 2 and we'll start at verse 5. Paul says here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a serpent, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things under in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. Then in verse 13 he says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And this verse 13 to 15 just cries out to me, for it is God which worketh in you. There's that ye may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We live in an evil society, people. But I believe as long as we're in murmurings and disputings and complainings, we will not show up as a blameless, harmless sons of God. We could be murmuring, complaining, and all kind. We get into the business world, and you all, brethren, know what we're talking about. We find people murmuring, complaining about politics, which is very, very strong today. But when we enter into that murmuring and complaining, our light goes off. We're not living in a blameless, harmless world when we're disputing, complaining, murmuring about politics. Verse 6 and 7, he's talking about here being confident this very thing, that he which hath given has begun a good work, and you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because all ye in my heart, inasmuch as I'm looking at the wrong chapter, I'm sorry. I was wanting to look at verse 6 and 7 in Philippians 2. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a serpent. And in verse 8 he says, and being made in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross. And that's where we need to come to. Somehow we need to get in our minds that we're here as servants in this world. Because without us being servants in this world, we turn to disputings, murmurings, complainings. And whenever that happens, our light just turns off. The light, the Christian light that we're living, will die immediately when we get into murmurings, complainings, and we turn away from servanthood. Turn back to Corinthians 10. We'll look at a couple more verses here. And we'll look at verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but as such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, as I was studying this a while back, I had a vision in the night. And the vision of this man was swimming out in the ocean, like river-like place. And it became obvious that he was going to drown. And in this vision, my friend and I took a canoe out and attempted to help him out of the water. And he said no. He refused to get in. He said, I can do it on my own. I can do it on my own. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And I believe this temptation is so common to us. I can do it on my own. I don't need your help. So I asked him, well, what do you think about God? And he said, yeah, I believe in a God. I know there's a God, and he can help me. He can save me. But I won't get in your canoe. I won't get in. I won't allow you to help me. So is this us today? That's what we have a church brotherhood for. I'm here to help you. You're here to help me. But if we refuse the help, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with temptation make a way to escape. And beloved, this morning I believe the brotherhood, the sisterhood, is our way of escape. The brotherhood, the sisterhood was sent to deliver us, to help us. Verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. And every time I read this, I just think about, what does it mean? What does Paul mean here to say, flee from idolatry? What are we willing to do? How much effort are we putting in to staying away from, take the word idolatry out of it and say other gods. Me God, self God, whatever God you want to put in here, they're all idolatry. Now think about, we were in Columbus, we were starting up a new well that had been sitting there for 20 years, idle, and the pipe, discharge pipe, was a 10-inch pipe, about 8 foot up above the pond, and we flipped on the switch, and air started coming out, dirt started coming out, obviously there was water coming. And then two cats, they'd found their way up in, but in their fleeing process, they didn't have time to climb up around, and they went straight out. They didn't know what was coming, and we don't know sometimes what's coming, but we know that it's not God. It's idolatry. My question this morning is, are we willing to do we know the difference? The Bible says that the devil is deceitful above man's knowledge and abilities. Accepting that we be focused on God, then we will be deceived. We need to flee the very appearance of evil with all that we have. You can look at, if you're taking some notes, put the feast songs. I thought I would look at some of them, but I'm going to just not do that. The feast songs, the Israel feast songs, are very interesting, and they point to us making a choice for God. And you can look at them, Psalms 113 through 118, and maybe we'll just turn to 118, Psalms 118. And we'll start at Psalm 118, and we'll just look at verse at the end of this feast songs, and 118 verse 27. God is the Lord which hath shewed us light, bind the sacrifice with cords even unto the horns of the altar. And then in verse 28, thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So my question this morning is, who is my God? Is my God self, Glenn? And there's a real tendency for us to go there. Or we can go back to the story of the children of Israel in the wilderness, the golden calf. Are we worshiping an idol? Or is our worship our family? There's a lot of distractions out there, people. Am I worshiping some past offense? Are we making attempts to be like God? One more happening yet I'd like to share. We had two ladies come to Sunshine Church. Older ladies, one was from Thailand, one was from Vietnam. And they came to Sunshine the same morning. I was gone that morning, but they came the same day, but we thought they were came together, but they all came separately. They happened there the same morning. And the one of them came to worship with us every Sunday for probably the next year. The other, one of them came every other Sunday for best part of the next year. And one Sunday at fellowship meal, I said to Noelle, which was the lady that came every Sunday, I said, what happened to Alicia? She hadn't been here for a month. Do you know, I would like to contact her, call her at least, and she lived in El Paso. And she said, well, Glenn, I personally decided to make an attempt to visit her, so I went over to see her because I felt some connection and some obligation here. And when I got there, I got inside the door, and on the left was a big figurine of Buddha. And the next, there was a statue of some kind. And then next, she had a big cross and many other figurines of worship. So she said, well, why have you stopped showing up at Sunshine for worship? And she said, this is what Alicia said. She said, I felt drawn into their God. I was being drawn into their God. And I understood, I found out that their God was not going to fit with my other gods. People are going to worship. And that's my plea this morning. My cry this morning. People are going to worship. But this really impressed on my mind. She said, when I found out, I realized that the God of Sunshine, the God of the people at Sunshine, was not going to fit into worship with my other gods. So the God that you and I are worshiping him this morning, when you go to town next week, you go to work next week, is the God that you're worshiping this morning or you're a part of this morning going to fit in? Or is it going to shine out as a separate? Our God will not worship with other gods. But just like the children of Israel, we tend to think about all those things back there. We ask God to deliver us from our mess. And he delivers us. We have peace. And so soon we need delivered again. But I trust that our God is a faithful God. Whenever we repent, like Israel said, I have sinned. We have sinned. And that's when God immediately takes us back in. Let's kneel for prayer.